Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, and we are here until 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about great movie cameos and great surprise movie cameos coming up. We got another edition of Pop-Up Video coming as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your Wildcard Wednesday requests. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right. Let's welcome back to the show one of my favorite people in the world and my future ex-wife. She stars on the Starz series Ash vs. Evil Dead, where she plays the kick-ass Kelly Maxwell, and had a particularly strong episode this past Sunday night. It airs every Sunday night on Starz, and you should check it out. And Dana DiLorenzo is her name, and she's awesome, and let's welcome her back to the show. Hello, Dana.
Hello, my favorite person on the planet.
How are you?
Don't ask. You know what? I'm so much better now. I was just telling Dan, your boyfriend.
Yes.
So I was just telling him that I'm so excited to be able to talk to you because it has been a day of all days. It has been a week of all week. I'm like leaving for Germany for a convention, which I'm super excited about.
I saw that posted on your Facebook page that you were going to Germany. That's really cool.
It's super cool, except that it was like just all came together like Sunday, and I'm leaving in like 3 days. I was telling Dan, I'm like, it's a sad fact, but I'm very self-aware that it takes me 2 months to pack for a weekend home in Ohio with my parents, where I have clothes, where there is shampoo. I haven't been in Europe since like high school, like before there were even digital cameras. I swear to God, I'm like, what? I don't know anything. I'm very excited, but I'm like, and then it's just one of those days. So I'm very happy to talk to you, baby, because I've missed you.
I've missed you
very
too.
Much.
I mean, you know, I like the texts that come back and forth between us. That's a nice way to stay connected.
I was just with brain phone, baby. See, we need to stop saying future X because I swear to God, like this is meant to be, and one of these days you're going to get out of the grasp of Dan. And you're going to come to Dan plus A, which is Dana, me. No, you read my brain fog because I was going to just say to you, like, can I just thank you for without fail, since, I don't know, when was the first time we talked, 2016? I was like season two. Since every episode since then, so what, 16 episodes if I'm doing math correctly.
I think you're right.
You always text me immediately when you see the episode, and it's just like, sometimes I'm awake because, you know, we're behind time-wise. But sometimes, I wake up and I see it. And I'm like, oh, God, it just is so nice. You know, none of my friends are even, like, half of them are too busy to watch me. They're like, I have all these other shows.
Okay.
It means a lot.
It's Monday morning for me. That's my tradition. I get home from work Monday morning and I watch you. That's what I do every Monday morning as soon as I get home from work.
That is the sexiest thing anyone has ever said to me.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, first of all, you're on Ash vs. Evil Dead. It's season three. It's kicking ass. And again, it's just as solid as can be. And we're already six episodes in. So we're, what, are we halfway through the season already?
More than half. There's only three more left. Seven, eight, nine, ten.
So four more.
I can do math, guys.
Okay.
I can do math.
All right. It's been a rough day. I understand.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
It's been a day. So four more. So just past the halfway mark, actually.
Oh, boy. So it
and had, no season four in sight, so this could be it, you guys.
Oh, no.
No, but this isn't a secret. We've been talking about this forever.
Yeah.
If people don't, subscribe to Starz, it's like the number one, I swear, the last thing I heard was it was like one of the, let me try words one more time.
Yeah.
It's the number one most illegally downloaded show, like one of them in the world,
is
great in a way because it's like, oh, we're super popular. Awesome.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I'm so stoked to like go to Europe because like I like love the fact that I have fans which feed my soul and make me happy. And anyway, I'm like I told you, we've talked about it. I get more excited to meet them than I think they are to meet me. Hold on. There is like a, there's, what is, what? Apparently there's a Deadite plane.
What's
going on?
Are you outside?
Don't you remember that did I not tell you that I have to go on my like the renting this apartment in LA. In LA, they have this. They have like decks. So I have to go upstairs because of my crazy. Because of my crazy neighbor. Like I have to tiptoe. No, like truly, the walls are very thin because it's California.
Yeah.
It ain't Chicago walls. Oh God, I miss my Chicago soundproof walls.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you have a crazy.
On my deck, which is
All right. Wait a minute. You have a crazy neighbor. What's going on?
Oh God. Actually, I have a great story of how it involved Lucy Lawless and Ted Raimi.
Oh, okay.
It was very short, which is when now I blew it. Now it's already going to be too long. So I had to, you know, I couldn't, like, it's a lot of money to, like, live in New Zealand and then also have a, you know, car and a place here to upkeep.
Yeah.
So between seasons one and two, I was like, okay, I'm going to put all my stuff in storage. I can't afford, like, to pay for two places at once. I'm just gonna, you know, do that, and then I'll sublet when I get back. So finally, it was like very much harder than you think. Airbnb was, you know, it was like $3,000 for a shack.
Yeah.
And out. So I found this amazing big girl place. I mean, I've lived in little tiny studios, other than in Chicago when I got my dream apartment in the theater district, like right next to the Goodman.
Yeah.
Lake in Dearborn. What up, 200?
Yeah.
other than that, you know, I have been a broke ass. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. You can say that.
Broke actor. So I mean, to have central heat and air, what I can't even tell you. I'm like in my 30s. For the first time in my life, I have central heat and air. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So I love this place, big girl place. It's like, I don't know. I'm bad with measuring. 60 foot ceiling. Like, it's like a little loft. Anyway, subletting it. Great. So happy. It's like my first day in. The second day in, and it's like sublet, so there's still, you know, it's like the other person's furniture. And it happened to be the premiere of season two.
Okay.
And Lucy Lawless happened to be in town. Ted Raimi, fun fact, lives about 5-minute walk from me, which, guys, in L.A., that is unheard of. It's not Chicago. It's like going 5 miles is you might as well be in Elgin.
Yeah, nobody walks in L.A. Nobody walks in L.A.
No, I think that's a movie.
It's also a song.
You can't.
Yeah, there's also a song, Walking in L.A. It's a song by Missing Persons from the 80s.
I love how much you know about things. Okay, side note. I digress. The end of the story is, we're here, and it's Lucy Wallace. Lucy Wallace. Zena is in my house.
Yeah.
Or the place I'm subletting. And Ted, and we're having a great time watching. And it was I don't even know at that time. I think the show was even on earlier, but it was like a East Coast time in LA. It was like 7 p.m. on a Sunday. 7.
Yeah.
It was just us, right? Bang, bang, bang on my door.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, God. Like, well, I had no idea. I was like, oh, maybe I have a delivery on Sunday. I don't know. And this woman was just went off on me. She's like, you are being very loud. I am your downstairs neighbor. I have to be quiet because I'm outside and my voice carries. Anyway, the end of the story is she just like teared into me. Wait, she teared into me. By the way, we weren't being loud at all.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you're slamming cupboards. I was like, and as I was about to be like, sorry, we're having a problem. It's only three of us. Lucy comes up to the door.
Yeah.
And like, I cannot do her accent. I wish I could do this.
Yeah.
And she looks at the woman and she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Actually, you know, it's my fault. I was moving some equipment. So please, like, don't take it out on her. She's a lovely girl. I know you're going to get to know each other, blah, blah. And the woman just looks at Lucy, clocks her, looks at me, and goes, you're loud. She was totally unfazed by the fact that Zena, the warrior princess, just came to my rescue and just tried to smooth things over. She's totally unfazed.
That's amazing. That's amazing because, that's amazing because if you've got a neighbor who's coming up to complain and suddenly Zena walks up behind you, that should have went, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Zena was here. I didn't know Zena was here. I'll leave.
Okay. I mean, that's a normal reaction.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, like, I mean, but it's the point of, like, listen, I know I'm not a quiet person, but actually in my place, like in any place, I've never been a bad neighbor. I've never had any complaints. And it was truly like 7 p.m. It's not, there was no music.
Yeah.
It was like, because we were walking, you know, I sneezed and she's like, gah. And it has been just a delightful battle.
I had a crazy upstairs neighbor who,
upstairs.
Yeah. A crazy upstairs neighbor. She was on the third floor. I was on the second floor. And I remember, I'll never forget this. It was in the middle of the afternoon. It was like maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And as you know, I work nights. And I'll never forget it. I was watching Alias. Okay. And so I'm watching Alias, and all of a sudden there's a knock on my door, and I'm just watching the show. And I open up the door, and she's like, you're being very loud. And I'm like, I'm watching TV. And she's like, it's too loud. You have to turn it down. And I'm like, all right, I'll turn it down. But you realize it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And she's like, well, I work from home. And I go, okay.
Oh, my God.
So this went on for months. She would bang on the floor, like if the TV was too loud.
She would
bang on the floor. And then it got to the point where she moved out after six. She didn't even stay a whole year. She moved out like after 6 months. I had a Trump card. Oh God, I'm sorry, I used that word. I had a different.
I know, but it's fine.
Okay, and so she came to the door one time and complained, and I'm like, look, I'm not turning it down. We had like two people over at the house, my girlfriend and I at the time, two people over at the house, and we're talking in the apartment, and she comes over, knocks on the door, and says, you people are having a big party. And like you, we weren't doing anything. There were just a few of us sitting there. So I said, but here was my ace in my sleeve was, listen, if you have a problem, go downstairs to the first floor because that's where the landlord lives. And because the owner guy who owned the building lived below me.
Right, right.
And so, and he was a good friend of mine. Like so anytime she would go down, she would come down and complain. I'm like, just go downstairs. His name was Doc. I said, just go downstairs and talk to Doc. And then she was gone 6 months later.
Nailed it. That's my Nikki D. If you want to try that tactic here, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll be over in a
bit.
I'll be over in a little
bit. All right. Okay, thanks. All right, I'm waiting.
Okay, hang on, Dana, okay?
You got it, baby.
All right, there we go. It's Dana DiLorenzo. I love her very much. And she is in Ash versus Evil Dead. The last episode was episode 6, and it was a particularly strong episode for Kelly. And it's been a great season so far. We're going to talk about that and much more with Dana DiLorenzo right after we take this break for the news on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Justin Kaufman filling in for Steve Cochran at 6 this morning. And we're going to be talking about movie cameos. We got a pop-up video thing going. Wildcard Wednesday, get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Right now, let's get back to the conversation with my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, who you can see on Ash versus Evil Dead. And there's a lot more to talk about. We always love having her on. Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, and I'm going to ask you for the 7,000th time to stop saying future ex-wife.
Okay, I will.
Why? Why? Why won't you just appease me? Especially, you know what? You know what my ace up my sleeve is?
What's that? You saw
what just happened to me in this episode of season 3.
Yeah.
You saw what just happened.
Yeah.
Can you just be nice to me?
Okay, all right.
Just
now,
to appease me once.
Okay, all right. My future wife, right, everybody. Thanks. There you go.
Oh, look how good that sounds.
So I don't know.
Future landlord.
I don't know how much we should give away, Dana, because I'm sure that there are some people who still have it on the DVR and haven't watched it yet. And some...
Well, they're slackers. That ain't my problem.
Yeah.
Are you? I mean, we have to. I mean, come on. No, this is. I mean, especially in my mood today, this is my hot button. Here's the thing. This is like okay. The radio is different, and you know I love my Chicago peeps. They can do no wrong. But what I hate so much is that when people on social media are responding to any of us. Who we are required, like, by the network to post and talk about the show and live tweet all of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, even the main account, like, the main Ash vs. Evil Dead account on all forums will post, like, something about, yeah, whatever, some quippy little thing. And there, I would say 25% of the people are like, ugh, spoiler. And by the way, what's so funny is that I have made it a mission, like, every single time, like, big, like, emoji, you know, caution, yellow, exclamation sign,
yep.
The triangle.
Yep.
Like, spoiler alert, blah, blah. And I tell, and it says it very clearly. Spoiler alert, don't continue if you haven't seen it, Slacker.
Yeah.
You ruined the show for me.
Yeah.
No. Oh, really? Well, I'm only up to season 1, episode 2. Okay, well, what the... I almost swore. So, in terms of today, like, I'll leave it to you, baby. You're in the driver's seat, but I certainly don't know how we can talk about. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. But it's easier to talk about that. It's harder to talk about moving forward because every single episode is like a. I think I told you this before. Is feels like a. it could be a season finale.
You're right.
And so, and every episode forthcoming has so many spoilers, and I can't, so it's like impossible for any of us to talk about it.
Yeah.
That would be very generic. So, you're whatever, however, I'll let you guide the ship.
Though. Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. Let's start before the sixth episode and talk about what's been happening on this season so far. We can talk about that. We've discovered that Ash has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude named Dalton shows up. Doesn't last very long, but he shows up. And we've got some other, like in this last Rift episode, some other characters show up that are in a group.
Knights of Samaria.
Yes, exactly. And Lee Majors comes back as a ghost in one of the funniest scenes that I've seen all year.
The basement thing.
Oh my God! Yeah. Just hilarious.
I could just, that's why it's like that we break our own rules all the time. That man has died and come back to life more times on the show than I think like anybody else in history of television or movies. And like, it's because it's just so good. They're so amazing to watch. You can't take your eyes off of them.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because like, you know, like Pablo's died like 12 times on the show.
And I know. And that's the thing is like, it's interesting without, I really want to say what I want to say. Can we? Okay, guys, for the next, just I will time myself 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Mute your radio if you haven't seen it, slackers.
Yeah.
Get 10 seconds and then come back. Okay. So all I want to say is like, this is the problem though, because of those characters, because Pablo died and come back 50 times, and especially just the episode before episode 6.
Yeah.
Because Lee Majors, all these people, right? The problem is people are just suddenly thinking, the fans, half of them think that, she'll be back.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's like, well, so then it's kind of sort of anticlimactic in that way. It's like, okay, well, then you'll be crying, you know, at the end when there is no Kelly, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But then I've gotten so much love. I'm not shunning any of the fans. I'm overwhelmed by how much love I've gotten. But the interesting thing is that people who love this show and love this franchise, you by now absolutely should know one rule, that we don't follow our own rules.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's no rule that says, oh, well, if this person came back, they can come back, or there's no rule.
Right.
And okay.
All right.
All right. Unmute.
Okay.
People.
I want to ask you about the filming of that scene between you and Lucy Lawless, because it's just so great. It was just so great and so much fun to watch. And, you know, how much of the stunt work did you do, and what was it like to like battle with Lucy Lawless? I mean, it's so awesome.
Okay. I will answer those in order. Well, the first one, I would like to shout out Aaron Lamb, who was the writer of this episode, who also wrote with Suzanne Keeley episode 8 of season 2, which was Ashy Slashy Puppet Fight with Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Big Ball episode when Pablo gets cut in half.
Yeah.
And then he came back and wrote this one on his own. And so, I mean, he knows what he's really got the world of Evil Dead down. In terms of stunts, I actually just posted a video today on all fronts. I'm Dana DiLorenzo. You can find it there. I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes posting.
Yeah, I've seen them.
This is the last season. Yeah, it's just like, especially if it's the last season. I happen to love behind the scenes stuff or like bloopers, shows I love. So I hope the fans have been enjoying it. But you'll see in there. First of all, Lucy knows her way around a fight.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, but me, the girl who, you know, spills every cup of coffee with a sippy lid on it and like almost tears down the entire set, just walking to set, I was a little bit concerned that I was going to hit Lucy Lawless in the face. Spoiler alert, hit Lucy Lawless in the face.
No.
And I cried. No, I cried. I am. She was like, I'm fine. You know, she was like, I don't know if it was hard or not.
Yeah.
But she's tough anyway. But I cried because her husband is the executive producer, Rob Tapper.
Right.
I was like, oh my God. Especially in that face, Lucy Lawless. So anyway, in terms of the stunt work, we did the entire fight, except for the things legally we could not do, which was like the wire move, where she sort of flies through the air and, puts her knee through the fireplace. That was actually me, though, when we shot the wide, because, you know, we do everything from different angles.
Sure.
So I actually, they were so concerned that I was not going to get out of the way when they were making Dana Grant, who actually, another Dana, who plays Lucy's stunt double and is also choreographed the fight. They were so concerned because she literally put a knee. It was lined up to hit me, and she was moving that fast.
Oh, yeah.
It was not CGI. So they were like, Dana, please, please, please make sure you get out of the way. I'm like, I got it, guys. And I luckily just dropped down, and it was fine. But and then my amazing stunt double, Crystal Pratt, who has been, I don't know if I've mentioned her before.
You have.
She has taken, if you think back to all of the Hard Knocks since episode one, all of them, the cabin being spewed out of the and getting ripped up to the rafters and dropped. I mean, she's tore her ACL.
Oh.
And this girl has done so much. So she was the one going whenever there was a throw toss.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing. However, I got to do I really got to shoot at the boomstick, which was a thrill. By the way, I don't like guns.
Yeah.
We're fighting evil. We're fighting demons. That's not people.
Yes.
Good fighting evil. But I will tell you, actually firing that boomstick.
Yeah.
The shotgun was like a firework coming out of your hands. It was kind of, you cannot help but feel like a badass.
Well, you looked like a total badass.
Do a good job making me look that way. You know the truth. Let's keep the fantasy alive. So we got to do all the fight stuff. And I have to tell you, I think Rob Tappert said this at the end when they do the little behind the scenes video.
Yeah.
He said, and he admitted, that was actually one of the most difficult, challenging things to shoot, just because when you have to have two cameras, it's just all technical stuff. So, and you don't want to lose the theme and break it down too much. I really fought to, no pun intended, but I really fought to say, look, I can't do one move at a time. It'll take totally this, I need the momentum, so can we at least break it up into little chunks?
Yeah.
And luckily they did, and it looked great, and with the arms crawling and all the things, the fact that I got to throw a grenade
and
we never got her flamethrower, but a grenade's the next best option.
It's
had the greatest time.
It's great. I mean, it's really great. There are other things I just want to mention about the episode last week before season episode five. All that baby stuff destroyed me. I'm telling you, the baby with the headless body coming up out of the butt and through the legs. I was on the floor laughing during that. And did that kid have a good time? That kid must have had a blast.
Oh, they said this too in the behind the scenes thing. There were multiple kids.
Oh.
It was very, with children, you only get so many hours. But also, those were, by the way, that baby for the win. Those kids were not more than three.
Yeah.
3 years old. And I mean, first of all, the creepiest part of that whole episode, the scariest, the most traumatizing to me was that kid walking with that creepy demon duck toy that was you remember that noise? It's a very specific noise. I truly had nightmares all night.
Yep.
I wasn't there obviously because we were shooting the other stuff, but, from what I heard, it was the kid wranglers, the way that, cause I'm like, what? There are, this kid is popping his head out with two legs on either side of his head. Really. And the greatest thing was when that, because you actually have to, that the very end when he pops the trunk.
Yeah.
And the kid is in there and just goes, mama. He went from demon kid nanny. And apparently, according to Rob Tappert in this video, there was only one of the four kids, because for even just a second, you're not leaving them in this trunk, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It's just 1 second so we can open it. It was a totally different kid, that had done nothing before, in the episode. I think it might have actually been Dana Grant, the stunt double for Lucy. Might have been her son. he said it was the only kid. He's like, if you notice, the kid is totally different look. They're a totally different child.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's the only kid that didn't scream hysterically and was able to say the line when they shut the trunk for 1 second. And I just love that. I mean, that kudos to them.
They, yeah.
they won that episode. Yeah. But yes, I'm glad you went. I'm glad you were rolling on the floor.
I was
with all kinds of wrong.
It was all kinds
of wrong.
All kinds of wrong, man.
And I had Pablo's face on my leg. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, come on. That I had to text you and said I was worried about that wound on your leg when Pablo's.
I mean,
yeah. So all right, listen.
Don't make me get my leg waxed.
Dana, hang on, okay.
You got it.
All right. Dana DiLorenzo is here, and Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3 is kicking ass, and it runs every Sunday night on Starz. If you don't have Starz, get it. Catch up for Season 1, 2, and get in here for Season 3. Dana DiLorenzo, more to talk about with her. And when we come back, I have to talk about the fact that I believe she cheated on me with another host here at WGN, and we're going to have to talk a little bit about that. So, all right, we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more Dana DiLorenzo right after this on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Talk and text 312-981-7200. You can check us out, facebook.com/NickDShow, and follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. You can also follow Dana DiLorenzo on Twitter at I'm Dana DiLorenzo. I'm Dana DiLorenzo. Dana DiLorenzo, great actress, awesome, my future wife. Currently starring in Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3, and she's a busy woman. Let's welcome Dana back to the show. Hi, Dana.
Okay, I give you 5 bonus points because you appeased me with saying future wife.
Okay.
I mean, it sounded a little bit, you know, sarcastic, but I'll take it.
Now, we have a segment here on the show, Dana, called Nick D Show Spies. And the idea is that listeners listen 24/7 to this station, and whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned, they jot down the time, what show it was on, and then we play it back on Friday to make sure we hear what people are saying about us.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. So, well, you made it to Nick D Show Spies because people listened and heard you on with Steve Cochran.
Which is amazing. Continue, because you're going to walk right into my trap, baby, because you got no ace. You got no landlord named Doc below you, baby. I got the upper hand. I got the boomstick and the grenade.
All right.
And I ain't leaving until I get mine. But go proceed, sir.
All right.
Please,
well, anyway, they said, hey, Dana DiLorenzo was on with Cochran, and you got mentioned, and we played back the audio, and you said that you said to Cochran, I feel like I'm cheating because I'm on with you. And then, of course, Cochran, for some reason, went to Man Cow. He mentioned Man Cow, and I'm not sure why.
Well, because I used to be, you're not sure why, because I used to be on the show.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm not sure why he went that route. But then you said that you felt like you were cheating on Nick D. You said future, by the way.
No. Let the record show. Let the record show. Go back and listen. What I actually said was, I feel like I said verbatim, I texted this to you, mother F, mama F. I really am trying my best not to swear.
All right.
I said, quote unquote, I'm going to be in trouble because I'm cheating on my favorite person by talking to you. And Steve said, who, Mancow? And I said, no, my future ex-husband, Nick D.
Right.
So boom. So I get it right. Continue. And what's the problem with that?
Nothing.
The entire interview was about you. Yeah,
no,
no, you're,
I know.
You're all, why are you, oh, you know what? Did I book? You know what? First of all, we have little time left, so I won't bore you with the details, but I will absolutely do a bonus segment, or I will talk to you privately, you know, in your spare time, to tell you what I already texted you, which was,
I know,
I had no idea what radio stations I was even doing that day.
I know.
And by the way, it was from like 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., and at 7 p.m. I was getting picked up for the airport for another last-minute convention, not Germany, but Pensacola, Florida. So, like, in the middle of being on live radio, imagine me with my 5 pieces of luggage to go for a week.
Oh, that's right.
My point.
Okay.
So, I'm just saying, for the record, I had no idea, and I always book directly through you, babe, so you better back.
All right, all right. I was just having some fun.
I think I detest a little bit of irritation. We are so going to be married. We are so going to be married. Are we already past the honeymoon phase?
I think
we are. It has been a year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. With such conviction. What is Dan threatening you to say that?
No. We're all set. It's all me.
Oh, my God. That took a turn. All I'm trying to do is profess my love to you, Nick. Please come back.
All right. I love you. You know that. So,
well, hey. Okay. Well, tell your tone.
All right. I want to mention your appearance on Will and Grace. I loved it. Talk about that.
You watched it?
Of course I watched it. You're in it. I'm going to watch it.
Well, I didn't get a text. How was I supposed to know?
Oh, I should have. Didn't I text you? I didn't text you?
Oh, you probably did. All right. My bad.
No, tell everybody about your appearance on Will and Grace.
Oh, man, comedy dreams do come true. I mean, these people, this show was, I don't want to, it's not formative years, but, like, they were my comedy gods. Like, truly, like, this was at the prime when I was, like, learning the craft, just, and I just, whatever. I just love the show. And I'm not big on, like, reboots and stuff, but I will tell you what, this show is the one that I'm like, okay, because it's even better, almost, it's honestly even better than it was back in its heyday. So, needless to say, this was, again, one of these crazy things where it happened sort of on the weekend. Like, it was insane. How do I make this short? It was insane. My audition was, like, done in a hotel room at another convention, like, where I'm pantomiming with the casting director, because it was, like, a Saturday. She's like, oh, this was supposed to be Karen's father. We changed it to the mom. I'm going to record the lines. Can you just pantomime it? Which was basically lip syncing and dialogue, right?
Right.
So that's what I assume I'm going to do. And, like, by the way, Karen Walker, aka Megan Mullally, is like up there with Lucia Ball and Carol Channing. And I got to meet Carol Channing this year too, but I digress. Anyway, so I'm like, oh my god, this is the one thing I like know how to do at the back of my hand. As long as, like, in terms of, like, the character, I know Karen Walker, so I know how to play her mom.
Yeah.
And, like, the gestures and all that, right? Because you want to emulate. I was there to, like, you. It's only funny if you play it like Megan's Karen Walker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, except I show up, and oh my god, I knew every time I meet somebody I care about, whether it's Larry David. When I bombed with a capital B at my Curb Your Enthusiasm audition.
Oh, boy.
Or when I... Oh, yeah, no. Oh, it gets worse. I mean, truly, I turn... You think I'm like, all over the place now. Words that were strung together were, like, just close your eyes and flip through dictionary and string seven words together. That's what happened when I met them. I was shaking like a chihuahua. Mm. I was trembling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was such a big deal. And it turns out we like didn't rehearse. They moved. I have to give them credit. Comedy Masters. You have no. If anyone is ever in a, like, I encourage you to go watch a live taping, because it is insane. I thought our show moved fast and was, like, constantly changing. It's like people screaming and like changing lines. It is incredible what they do. But, like, so all of a sudden they said, okay, you're gonna pantomime to Megan live, and I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh.
No. But, like, not only that, it's not like it's Bob, you know, the bus driver. This is Megan. This is, like, one of my heroes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, it's very different than lip syncing. So now, I mean, honestly, it was like, you know, that SNL sketch with Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig where they look at each other.
Yeah.
And they try and guess what the next. Okay. So now imagine that. Except you're not even looking at the other person. It's the comedy doesn't come from screwing up. The comedy comes from nailing it. It was lip syncing live was the hardest thing I've ever done. But I have to tell you what, like, in that moment, I told Megan Mullally, I'm like, sorry, I'm just fangirling and I can't work until I just put this out there. I know I'm shaking. I just have to say, like, you're my comedy idol and I just need to get that out of the way. Forgive me for shaking like a chihuahua. And she's like, oh, thanks. And it was, like, really, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick Offerman, her husband, was there at the taping.
Yeah. By the way, Dana, I know Nick. I acted with Nick.
Oh, wait, you did?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Like, can you hang on for a second, Dana?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. We're going to take a break. Hold on a second. There's Dana DiLorenzo is here, and we're going to take a break for the news, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Dana, because I want to hear more of the story of her playing... Karen's mom on Will and Grace. And, yeah, so we'll talk more with Dana right after we take this break for the news on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? It's Wednesday. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests, and we'll play them a little bit later on. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 a.m. And, we've got Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Justin Kaufman is in for Steve Cochran this morning. So that's what's coming up. We're going to be talking about movie cameos, the best and the most surprising and the most fun. Skip Skipley's on the way with the jet, and we're going to be doing a little pop-up video. But right now, let's get back to the conversation with Dana DiLorenzo, who is just awesome. And spent many years here in Chicago and is a great actress and so funny and so cool. And she's currently on season 3 of Ash vs. Evil Dead. We're talking a little bit about that. And she just recently had an appearance playing Karen's mom on Will and Grace. And we were just talking about that experience before the break. Dana, welcome back.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Nick P., my future husband. And actually, I need to say this. I played Karen's mom in a flashback. I feel like that needs to be said because Karen's mom was played by oh, God, what's the actress? There was actually Karen's mom who was actually on the show when it originally aired.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing a blank on her name. Famous. Oh, damn. Anyway, but so, yes, it was a flashback. So I was playing her mom from, like, the 70s. Who, shocker, was like, if anyone knows the show, she was, you know, an alcoholic.
Right.
Giving Southern comfort to young Karen Walker, right. An 11-year-old.
Right.
I think we just had to give that picture to people.
Yeah, no, we were kind of remiss. Yeah. It is a flashback, and they didn't put you, like, in old age makeup or anything, so, no.
No. And then it was a flashback where Megan Mullally, with her signature Karen Walker voice, is saying the line, and me and... the girl, the little Karen, were pantomiming live. Oh God, to Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
But let's get back to because I really want. I actually, if there's time, I really want to hear your story about Nick Offerman.
Well,
why don't we do that first?
Okay.
People are sort of hearing my voice.
I knew Nick many years ago when he was with Defiant Theater here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, I was with the Factory Theater and he was with Defiant, and we were those theater companies respected each other a lot. We supported their shows, they supported our shows, and you know, he was fantastic here in Chicago and on stage, and he's obviously a really cool guy and a nice guy and very, very funny and incredibly talented. And I got to act with him in an improv thing at the Abbey Hoffman Festival many years ago in the 90s. And it was before he moved out to LA, and you know, before he became Ron Swanson. And most of us who know Nick, you know, from those days, from those, you know, early mid 90s, late 90s days, have followed his career. Everybody here in the Chicago theater community, storefront theater community, who knew Nick then, and have been so happy to see, you know, what he's done and how far he's gone and just how damn talented he is on so many levels. And so I got to work with him. It was one night, but I mean, I saw him on stage many times. We socialized many times. We drank together many times back in those days when the Factory and the Defiant Theaters were friends, and we used to hang out all the time. An amazing group of people. And by the way, here's something you need to do, Dana.
Did you forget my name?
No, I didn't. How am I forget your name? Go online, and this is not safe for work. Go online and look up Nick Offerman headshot. Have you ever seen his headshot from Chicago in the 90s?
Negative.
No, well, because you would not have forgotten it.
A headshot that is not safe for work?
Yes.
I don't even understand how that can be possible.
It's got to be in the ether out there. It's got to be on the internet somewhere. I have a copy of it. Because we all like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
why don't you take a photo of it if I can't find it?
Okay, all right. I'll dig it out of the archives because it's in my, like, theater archives box. So I'll have to dig it out.
But we all have those.
But anyway... I'm sure you can find it if you just like Google image, you know, Nick Offerman headshot, or like Nick Offerman early headshot, and then enjoy it, because that's all I'm. That was his headshot. And by the way, when you see this thing, he actually went to auditions and used it. I'm not kidding. He would put his resume on the back of this of this insane headshot, and he would bring it to auditions. Yeah, it's incredible.
I can't wait.
It's incredible.
It's incredible that you have a story like that. And like, this is what I mean. Like, there's so many things I could talk for 20 minutes just based on what you just said, which is like, this is why I love Chicago. This is why, like, Chicago is the grassroots of theater. And you know, my biggest thing, I did a couple of plays here and there. Like, I did have Malia Obama come to my show at the Vidim Theater in the production of Holes. That was my big claim to fame. But no, I did like Tony Tina's wedding and all that. And I have to tell you, like, those people to this day are still some of my best friends.
Yeah.
That's my circle. Yeah. And it's like the story that you just told where, like, in Chicago, unlike LA, I can't speak for New York, but in Chicago, when it's the good guys, when it's the people that have like you know, earn their keep and are like lovely to work with,
yep,
and deserve it. Like, instead of people would attack, like going against them, wishing them ill will, as so I trust me, that's this business. They like genuinely, like you, like I hear you are genuinely happy for him, and that's just this is why I love Chicago so
well,
much.
You know, I gotta
I'm moving back.
Well, please do, yeah. Because so Dana, I mean, I'm serious. I don't do theater anymore because, you know, like this is sort of my life now is doing this. But when I was only working on the weekends here at GN, I did a lot of theater. I directed a lot. I was in a lot of theater, and you know, I trained at Second City and all that stuff. And I did it for many years. I was artistic director of the Factory Theater for about 10 years.
Oh my God, and, are you kidding me, Nick?
No,
you were artistic director?
I never told you this.
No, you conveniently left us out.
Okay.
You were too busy calling me your ex-wife. That's a big deal. Like, if people don't know, I mean, that's like the CEO of a theater company for people who aren't familiar. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, and holy, you know, and it was the Factory Theater, which still is in existence. It's their 25th season this year. I was with them from 93 through, like, you know, 2003, took a little break, came back, and was with them until 2007. And I wrote like maybe 25 shows. I directed a bunch. I was in a bunch of them. We had some hits. I actually had a co-adapted High Fidelity to the stage. We called it The Vinyl Shop. We did it before Cusack did it. And
oh, my goodness.
And we went to New York with it at the Fringe Festival. We did 3 weeks of the Fringe Festival out there and all that stuff. So I've been doing a lot. But I wanted to say this. There is no other place in the world that is better to do theater than here. It's the best.
Agreed.
It's the best.
Agreed.
Theater community in the country, no question about it. And it's because of those relationships that we make and how supportive it is. Like the Defiant Theater, we could have been enemies. You know, they were looking for the same kind of crowds that we were looking for, but we were all friends. We all hung out, and you know, it was, you know, I'm not a drinker anymore, but I used to be, and that was a big part of the theater community was drinking. I have nothing but amazing memories doing theater in this city. Nothing. So.
And it is also the best city to watch theater as well. And that is, I mean, and this is what I mean is like, it's the difference, you know, out here, I guess I'm not in that scene, but from what I understand and the way people talk about it, like Improv Olympic out here is like against the Groundlings, and the Groundlings is against Second City out here.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not against, but you know what I mean? It's like this whole sort of elitist thing. And at Chicago, it's just a different ball game, and everybody from the audience to the people in the show benefit from that. Yeah. And I love this, by the way, you remember from the very first time I met, I talked to you, which I believe was in studio, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were live. It was during Wizard World 2016. That's when.
Yeah, I remember that. It was August for sure. I remember. And came with my friend Paul Peroni. What up, Paulie?
Yeah.
But that was the first time we spoke. Right?
Yes.
I actually think Ted Raimi. Okay. You first of all, that was like to this day my favorite and perhaps my most cohesive interview. And what did I say to you? If you remember, I said, I'm like, you are so good at what you do. And I'm speaking from I was an on-air radio personality and a producer. And this, Nick, the fact that this is the first time I'm hearing this makes so much sense. That this is exactly why you are brilliant at this medium as well, because you're bringing all of that. Like, it was so effortless talking to you, but in a way that was not, it was sort of symbiotic. Does that make sense? It wasn't like a volley. It was more of like synchronized swimming, like dolphins. Does that make, you know what I mean?
No, listen, it was, Dana, when the first time that you came in and we did the interview, it was, and I'm not exaggerating, I've been doing this a long time. It was one of the most fun interviews and one of the best interviews I've ever done. And I've been doing this for 20, I'm in my 20th year hosting a show. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And this, and seriously, that first, and every interview I do with you, but particularly that first one, we connected big time. And,
we really did. It was like we were dancing. It honestly was.
Yeah.
And it was just an immediate connection, but like an immediate give and take that like not everybody can do. And it was just so innate. And now that I understand like how much you bring to this world of radio from your background in theater and writing, and you just it explains everything about you. And I stand by it. And I'm a little bit I'm like very impressed. I'm like a little bit blushy for like you're like Nick D, the like the theater artistic director, all these things.
Yeah, I was a busy I was busy in the 90s. I don't know.
Hey, well let's be you know what? Why don't we when next time you take a break?
Yeah.
If you take a break. You and I can like write together, and we'll do a
one-man
show. You could direct me. We'll do one more, whatever.
I would love to do that.
I would do anything.
That would be an unbelievable thrill for me. That would be an unbelievable thrill. So hey, I just want to mention one more time because we got to let you go. I want to mention one more time. People should see The Mad Ones. Is that still streaming? Because you're so good in it.
Yes. Oh, you're so kind, and thank you again. And Ani wanted me to thank you again. Yes, themadonesmovie.com, or it's The Mad Ones on all video on demand platforms like iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, PlayStation, all those things. Thank you for that. And I'm very excited. Something new has happened and has finally come out, which is talk about worlds colliding. Fun fact, Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron on The Walking Dead, he was my first friend that I met here, one of the first people I met here when I was working at the bar in my first, 6 months here. And it's 5 years later, 4 years later, he's he does anybody who knows him, he does the most incredible impressions.
Yes,
like, spot on. Okay, so he was doing this web series with it was with Soul Pancake, which is Rainn Wilson's company, and Ben Shelton wrote and directed it. And he goes, hey, they're looking for women that can play my love interest, that can also do impressions. Blah, blah, blah. It was one of these things that just sort of, it was it was felt actually like the most Chicago thing that I've ever done in LA.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was no one got paid. We were just doing it like using someone's house. I'm telling you what, it was like one of the most rewarding and fun time. Like it's like your experience or our experience with the Chicago theater. It was like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I played his love interest. Are you ready for this? The show gets picked up, put on Pop TV. It's now on Amazon, which is where I'm getting. But, like, it got picked up, put on Pop TV. But it's the premiere. We're at the Burbank Film Festival. I'm like, hey, you want to be my date? Because we play love interest. And he's like, no, I booked something huge. I can't tell you. I didn't even tell my parents. But I'm not going to be there. I find out, so 6 months later, I book Evil Dead. And I talk to him, or he reaches out to me because he saw it. He goes, well, now I guess I can tell you because I'm back. I go, what? He's like, I booked The Walking Dead. I go, are you kidding?
Oh, man.
We were like, had like 30 cents to our name crying about how we were going to get through the day. And then we play love interest. He books Walking Dead. 6 months later, I book Evil Dead.
Wow.
This is insane. I mean, it's like Christmas. So that is called Impress Me, and it is now on Amazon. And I'm telling you what, one of the most entertaining shows. It is phenomenal. I cannot think.
Okay. So it's called Impress Me, and it's on Amazon.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I will definitely watch it, and I'll text you after I watch it. By the way, while we were talking here, I Googled Nick Offerman headshot. It's the first thing that pops up, so you need
Oh, my God. I feel like you like him more than...
No. I just wanted to make sure that you were able to see it. That's all. Because By the way, after you look it up, text me and let me know what you think of this headshot. Keep in mind, Nick used it on auditions. So keep that in mind.
I already love it. Can I text you like in 5 minutes while you're on air?
Sure, of course you can. Text me anytime you want, Dana. Alyssa, Dana, I love you. You know that. And there is a strong possibility that I'm going to see you in August. We can't really talk about it. But there's a real struggle.
Oh, we can't? Okay, good. Well, because you never respond to those texts.
No, I know. Well, that's because I didn't see the person that I needed to see until last night.
Okay. Well, now we sound like we're doing some big,
I
want you to make the announcement.
Okay,
you have to be the one to make the announcement.
I will. And we'll have you on before it happens, okay?
Yes, because I might be coming to Chicago in the next 2 months, to do WGN TV. So I'm going to be coming by.
Hold on a second. I work for WGN, and WGN TV is our sister. What are you doing on WGN TV? Can you talk about it?
Wouldn't it just like an interview on the morning radio?
Oh,
morning TV.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be in town, and you're going to do an interview with them.
Well, yes, we're trying to set it up because I'm trying to juggle a couple things. But I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you, and Mr. Groovy Hoovy, that I will be there in the next month or two. So,
okay.
Get ready for a pop in.
All right, I'll see you. All right, Dana.
And at Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's and Potbelly's right across the street from my apartment. I don't know how many times I got to tell you that.
So, it's happening.
All right, okay, Dana. It's always great to talk to you. You're the best. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right, baby.
All right, take care.
See you later, future husband.
There you go. There you go. Dana DiLorenzo. I love her so much. She's the best. And Ash vs. Evil Dead runs on Sunday nights on Stars, and it's got four more episodes left. If you need to play catch up, all three seasons have been great. If you're a fan of the Evil Dead movies, this show nails it. And Kelly Maxwell, the character that Dana plays, is awesome. So, Dana DiLorenzo, she's the best. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about great movie cameos right here on 720 WGN.